just another solid day in California. It's just the way that I was raised in California.
Welcome to the Fansmanship.com podcast, coming to you from San Luis Obispo, California.
Where you stand?
LA living gridlocked in the fast lane. Trying to strike a rich match, play my cash game. At least a couple degrees from the coast where they got bunnies and prints.
All right, we'll get started. Obviously, you know who this gentleman is here. Let's just go with a couple of questions at a time, and then if you have more questions after that, we'll do a second round of questions, okay? So we'll start over on the right side. Chris, any questions?
I guess my main question, very specific, is about the terms of Coach Coleo's contract. What's the plan for finishing out his term, and how is that money getting paid?
So, with a year left on his contract, the way the CSU template works, we pay essentially half the base salary. So for Joe, that's $137,000, and we'll absorb that through the salary budget of our athletic department budget and figure it out. It's not an insignificant sum, but we can weather that.
And then follow up to that, obviously a tough few years here for the basketball program. What needs to happen for the program to get to the level you want it to reach?
Yeah, well, I think there's that's a short question that probably needs a longer answer. But, I think if I could summarize that by just saying what we're looking for, I think in terms of what kind of qualities are we looking for. And for me, first and foremost, is I think we have to have somebody who understands the academic rigors of this place. Every single program, it's funny, I was talking to the team today about this, about their other recruiting visits, and I said, I'll bet on every single recruiting visit you guys went on, they talked about academics first. Every single place you went talked about academics first, but here we actually mean that. Like, you actually get to come to Cal Poly and major in what you want to major in. I think it would surprise most people to know when they go to, pick random school, they get told what they're going to major in most of the time. We don't do that here. You actually get admitted like a regular student here, and you go to class like a regular student here. And these young men major in engineering and business. They're high-achieving students. So our coach is going to have to embrace recruiting to that model. I'd heard a couple of people say, just like last night after the game, people cornered me and said, you need to be able to recruit LA County. Well, that's all well and good. That's nice to say. And I agree that we need to spend some time in LA County, but you can't just recruit anybody here. It has to be somebody that fits our academic profile. Somebody who's going to embrace the college town. It's very unique in California. I think we're pretty much it. At least in terms of a Division I college town, we're it. So it's a unique market for a coach to come in and sell, and I think Coach Clare did a tremendous job of that, by the way. But whoever comes in is going to have to help continue to sell our program to the community. Last night we had pretty close to a sellout. When we defeated Hawaii, we had pretty close to a sellout. Name me another Big West school in ninth place that can do that. That's pretty impressive, and I thank our community for their support in that. We need a coach who's going to understand that we need to continue to do those good things. Obviously recruiting, obviously coaching, obviously developing talent, all those things are going to be really, really important. And those are the things that I think we're going to look for pretty hard in what our next leader is going to look like.
You mentioned talking to players today. Can you talk a little bit about the nature of that conversation and kind of how that went?
Yeah, it was a challenging conversation to have. President Armstrong joined me in that. Along with Dr. Pettit, who's our deputy athletic director. We just kind of talked very frankly with them about what they want. And I'll keep the details of that conversation private because I promised them that I would. But they're hurting. They're certainly hurting, and they're wondering what's next. There's a bit of uncertainty that they feel. Am I valued? Am I going to be allowed to stay? All those things. And, of course, the answer is yes. To all of those, we're not in the business of turning student athletes away at this university. We've never done that. We're certainly not going to start now. So I hope that I reassured them that they still have a home here, no matter what change is coming.
So as a follow up, you'd expect those guys who are on the team now to who are staying to to remain on scholarship and all those things generally?
I make no promises on that, and I didn't ask them to make one to me. But it is my hope that they all stay because they are outstanding young men, and I would be disappointed if they did not get a degree from this place.
What were some of the factors in the timing of the decision to let Coach Clear go?
In terms of, when during the season?
Yeah, during the season.
Yeah.
A couple games left, and just, why now?
Yeah, I felt like I owed it to Joe. I have enough respect for him as a leader and as a man and as a friend. I felt like I owed him that he should know when I know. Could I have sat on it till the end of the season, till today? Sure. But I respect him too much, and I felt like I owed him the knowledge that I had, which was he was not going to be retained, and we had a couple of days worth of conversations about how that needed to go. I was comfortable waiting till the end of the year. He felt it was best to notify the team, when he knew. Same reaction I had, and probably same reasoning. He has too much respect for the men and the team to not tell them when he knew. So I have no issues with it whatsoever.
In fact, factors into ultimately letting him go.
I'm sorry?
Factors into ultimately letting him go. Why was this the time?
It was – we'd had several years of not improving. I think we've proven ourselves very, very patient in terms of what our win-loss record was. I wanted to see us I wanted to see improvement. We were talking earlier, we need to be in the hunt for titles. And I'm not saying we need to win a Big West title every single year. I want to get us back into the hunt. And this was one more year where we weren't. Everything else in our program is top-notch. I can't say enough good things about Joe Calera and where we are with our program. Academically, our APR is through the roof. Our graduation rates are top-notch. Guys are getting through socially. They're great young men. I couldn't be more proud of this program with where we are in every single other aspect.
You mentioned academics being a very strong suit here, mm-hmm. especially for Cal Poly. Mm-hmm. Does that restrict recruiting in a way? Not getting into LA County or anywhere else?
Of course, 100%. And that's a challenge that we're going to embrace, challenge we've always embraced. Getting into Cal Poly is a tremendous honor. I don't, if you guys are on social media, you've seen all the students that are getting their admissions notifications, and it's amazing to see all the retweets and how excited all these people are about getting into Cal Poly. It's the same for a student athlete, but they have to embrace what it is, which is you're going to work your butt off in the classroom when you get here, and that's not just a men's basketball thing, that's a Cal Poly thing. It definitely limits the number of people you can look at. So I've often laughed about it. If you're the basketball coach at Cal Poly and you go to a jamboree or a recruiting event, whatever it is, club basketball, and you see somebody you hadn't seen before, and you say, oh, my goodness, look at that guy. What's his GPA? 2.0, moving on. It's just as simple as that. It's not worth the time to even watch that anymore because we do have to have that high-achieving student.
That being said, can you win consistently at Cal Poly? We've seen this team, mm-hmm. In 2014, the team still was, below 500. Mm-hmm. They had a great run, but there was some success early on in Joe's career, and even before him, the team was successful, occasionally. How do you do it then at Cal Poly, consistently, contend for a Big West championship and are an upper-tier team in mm-hmm. this conference?
It's going to be hard. It's not easy. There's no question we have the highest admission standards in our conference, and we're in an aging building as well. Those two things, you can look at as a hindrance. I look at the positives of look at our community, look at the world-class university we get to recruit to. So I do think there's a way you can flip the script a bit into those positives immediately. It's like, yeah, can you win here? Sure. There's a lot of high-achieving academic universities that have proven that they can be successful in a sport of basketball pretty routinely. I can't speak to how much they're waiving their admission standards, but those aren't things that we're going to compromise for the sake of on-field, on-court glory. This is our identity, and we embrace it, and we love it. So yes, we can, but it's going to take a special effort over the next half decade to make sure that we are putting ourselves in that position. It's about finding the right fit, the right student who can be successful academically here, who's driven to be successful on the court. And I do think we have some young men in our program that fit that bill.
And when you say right fit, what kind of coach are you looking for? A lot of times there's maybe a search where you're trying to find somebody that has that experience, has been a head coach, whether it be Division One, Division Two, or wherever, or there's those assistants that have never had a head coaching job. Is there a certain candidate type you're looking for, or is it just, it's just going to hit you when you find that individual?
I think it's going to be exactly what you said there in the latter part. It's going to be evident, I think, when the time comes, but not looking for any, you know, age group. You know, that came up with the players today in terms of, are we looking for the young hot shot? You looking for the grizzled veteran? You know, yes. Yes to both. We'll see what we get. Somebody that we feel like is going to meet those attributes we talked about earlier, that can embrace being in this community, that can embrace the academic side of things. Somebody who has been at Big West or WCC or similarly resourced conference, where they're not coming in and don't have any understanding of a budget. A lot of programs don't ever have to look at a budget. Big West Conference members, we have budgets. We have to honor where we are in terms of what we can spend. If you're at Kansas, you don't really do that. So somebody that's had that experience, I think, is really important for us too.
Time frame. What do you think? When would you like to have a new coach in?
It's going to be hard to say. We're going to move as quickly as we can. Dr. Pettit, our deputy athletic director, and I are going to hit the road tomorrow, visiting a number of locations and meeting with as many people as we can. We've got probably 18 to 25 people set up already that we're going to visit with over the course of the next week. We may end up on more planes after that. We'll see what our candidate pool looks like after this first few days. But we're going to try to move as quickly as we can.
Before we get on to the candidate search, I do want to harken back to that respect question with Calera. Did at any point before you announced his decision, you offer Calera the opportunity to resign as basketball coach?
You know, we talked about a lot of different options. It was never really seriously discussed, just because that's not Joe's way. He's more... let's be honest and call it what it is. So this was, I gave Joe a lot of flexibility to be able to handle this the way he wanted, and he certainly did. He handled this exactly the way he wanted. And that's the measure of respect that I think he's earned in our department.
Moving forward to this coaching search that's taking place at a national level, how are you going to sell Cal Poly basketball to these coaches? Six straight losing seasons, the one season in which Cal Poly did go to the men's basketball tournament, still finished below 500.
Yeah.
So how are you going to sell Cal Poly to these coaches?
The kind of coach we want, we won't have to. The kind of coach we want wants this job badly. Kind of like I did when I wanted this athletic director job. I knew what it was academically, and that's what I wanted. I wanted to be at a school like this that had those standards, that had some integrity behind it when it comes to how we recruit, how we play, how we compete, how we deal with our students academically, versus the win at all cost, compromise whatever we need to compromise to field a competitive team. Our president doesn't want that, and I don't want that. The kind of coach we want doesn't want that either.
So, kind of going back to that coaching search, is there, because this is obviously the first time, at least for the basketball program, this has happened in 10 years, is there a specific, like, method you guys are using to go about your search? Is there, like, a specific program you guys are trying to maybe not go after, but kind of model?
No, because we're so unique, there's not really one, I think, that fits. You know, when we were talking about the academic nature of this place, When you talk to a coach, almost every one of them will say, of course, it's academics first. It's really, really hard to find somebody who's been at a place like this. Are there out there? There's a few, of course, but there's not many. So finding somebody with that experience is going to be really hard. It's going to be up to us to determine, do they truly understand what we're talking about? That we're not just whistling Dixie here when we say academics first. This is a real deal, and I think our fans like that about us. I think they like that we're not just, there's no such thing as a dumb jock here. I think they respect that. At least that's what I hear from our fan base and our season ticket holders and people that support us is that that's one of the things that they really value in Cal Poly Athletics is that. So there's no, you know, we're going to talk to a lot of people from Pac-12s, WCCs, Mountain Wests, wherever. We're not shying away from anybody. We're not going to decline the opportunity to talk to people. Head coaches, assistant coaches will be in the mix. We'll be pretty tight-lipped about it because we do need to maintain confidentiality for the sake of getting a good candidate pool. If it's public from the get-go, it's going to be really, really hard to recruit that quality coach that I think that we're looking for. Because in some cases, their teams are still going to be playing.
And then do you feel, looking for a coach that will uphold such high academic standards, mm-hmm. do you feel like there might be kind of a forcing in the pairing, or do you feel like there is a natural fit out there?
There'll be a natural fit, and I think it'll be evident for us when we see it in terms of how they embrace it. You know, if you've been an assistant coach only at those, you know, what I would call open admissions universities, I think it actually might be a struggle for you. But we're going to have to vet that fully and make sure that they truly understand it. So we'll be providing full academic profile information. This is the admission profile of our student athletes that we currently have in our program. Look at these test scores and look at these high school GPAs. Then that right there should be enough for them to go, oh, yeah, they are serious about this. Yeah, that's the kind of student athlete that we have.
And then when you guys were compiling the pool of candidates, when you were searching, were there people that you just automatically eliminated solely based off the academic profile?
There were. You know, we eliminated quite a few honestly, we started with a list of a couple hundred and have been working it down. I'll give you an example. There was one that we were looking at that's only been at, you know, if you look at the top 20 budgeted programs in the United States, this person had only been at three of those. And that's it, nowhere else. So they've only seen the highest level, highest resourced programs. I can't in good conscience bring that person into our program because I just don't think they will understand, you know, what we're up against. What do you mean we don't charter everywhere on planes? It's like, no, we don't. We bus down to Irvine. We don't fly on a private jet. I think for some of those coaches that have only experienced that, they'd have a hard time understanding Big West basketball.
Sawyer?
You mentioned kind of selling the coach on Cal Poly basketball, but how are you guys kind of planning on selling this to the future recruits kind of as you go through this coaching search and kind of moving forward.
Yeah, so with our recruits, we've got, you know, however long this is going to take, a few weeks to figure that out. But once we have our new coach, I think that'll take care of itself. Our new coach will immediately get on the phone and start calling those recruits and make sure, you know, those that have committed and our signee in the early period as well, that those folks are with us. To be honest, there's going to be some recruiting with our current roster. You know, the coach is going to have to come in and convince the young men in our program now. They're smart guys, as we've discussed repeatedly. They're very smart, so they're going to sniff out whoever this person is pretty quickly right away about whether or not there's any substance behind them. And my belief is we're going to get that right person that's got plenty of substance behind them.
And going forward, just where do you kind of see the team going? Just in the next couple of years, as you go with whoever's hired, where do you see the team going? And what's it going to take to kind of get back to where Cal Poly was just a few years ago?
Yeah, well, recruiting athletes is going to be a big part of the next coach's responsibility. As much as I love our guys, when we play UC Irvine, you can see a distinct difference in the size and speed of those athletes that they have on their roster versus us. I'll take them on in a spelling bee any day. But they have recruited some elite athletes. We need to find a few of those guys ourselves, and I think they're out there for us to find. The engineer that also wants to play basketball, we've got a couple of those on our roster now. Let's go get a couple more. Height obviously is going to be a big part of that. So when we talk about athleticism, I think the length of those athletes and the presence in the post is something I think we've missed. It's been pretty obvious we've missed that for a few years now.
What would it mean for this team to kind of going forward for this to kind of get back to the top of the conference? What would it mean kind of for the program to kind of get back to where they know they can do?
What would it mean for the program to?
Yeah.
Well, I think we just need to get to a point where we're competing again for the championships. You know, I've talked to our president about this all the time, and our hope for every single student athlete at Cal Poly is they graduate from here and they have a championship ring as well. Our current basketball players have not had that experience yet, and I dearly wish for them to have that experience. Most of our other programs have had those experiences during their time here, particularly our upperclassmen that we have around our athletic department. So my hope is that they get that experience quickly. We've got our work cut out for us, and it's going to be a building process, I think. Thankfully, Joe has left us with a tremendous culture within our program. Socially, the kids are great. You guys come to the games. You talk to them after the game. You see them. You know what we're talking about. Some of you have worked at other schools, and I don't think you can probably say the same things about the content of the character of everybody within that program. So culturally, we're actually in a very healthy, vibrant place right now. The guys love Cal Poly. They want to be here. They want to be successful. They're working their butts off. So what I'm looking for is somebody that can help lead us to get back into contention.
If you don't mind, we'll do one more round. If you have a question, go ahead and fire it. Try to keep it to one question, please. Go ahead.
Overall, how would you assess all the programs here? I know some have been struggling, football in particular, but how would you assess everything? And you know, what's it going to take to get Cal Poly going again on some of these other sports as well?
Yeah, so I would argue football. We had one bad season, I think, but the year before playoffs. So it's a little bit apples to oranges when you're trying to compare each program to each program. You know, women's basketball didn't have a great year. We kind of expected that because we lost the Twins, who are two of the best basketball players we've ever had in program history. They finished second last year. So I've complete faith in Faith, pardon the pun, complete faith in her and her ability to get us back into contention. That team experienced it the year before in terms of what it's like to be in championship contention. So I have every belief that they'll get there. Baseball, softball, kind of off to a rough start right now, but it's about the conference. We'll see where they are. They've certainly both played an aggressive schedule, so it's hard for me to judge them right now when we're just less than a month in on both of them. So this certainly sets a tone for the department a lot, and I think one of the things that Joe did a great job of, as does Tim Walsh, as does Faith, as does Larry, they're all great supporters of each other. It's a really unique thing. One of the things I've noticed about our department is, so we have whatever 80 full-time staff members. They're as close-knit a group and support each other better than any place I've ever worked. Like, these people genuinely care about each other. Last night at the game, you know, there are 8 or 9 head coaches at the basketball game last night. They really do a tremendous job of supporting each other, and they hurt when one of the others is hurting. So I say that to kind of illustrate our entire department is hurting right now because we all really care deeply about each other, and we all care deeply about Joe. And one of the things that we're missing still is the fact that there's these assistant coaches whose young families are going to be uprooted. Everybody thinks this is easy, and this is not. These are very, very hard things that weigh heavy on the mind of a president, on the mind of an AD. These are hard things, and I'm certainly not trying to say it's harder on me than it is on them, because it's not. But these are not easy decisions, and as easy as people like to make it from the outside, it's not, because I spent 8 years two doors down from this man. And friendships and genuine respect evolves.
The recent hiring of Caroline, notwithstanding, two kind of higher profile coaches that you've hired, Sam and Steve, kind of, what have you learned, or can you compare the experience mm-hmm. that you had hiring a volleyball and a men's soccer coach with what you expect to have happen, and maybe what have you learned from those experiences?
Yeah, well, I've learned that the most successful searches are those where I leave and come back versus we stay here and bring people to us. We have to go recruit, and that's how we got Sam Crossan. You know, we left, we went to the Volleyball Final Four and interviewed, you know, 30, 40, 50 people, whatever it was, and narrowed that list down, and Sam became the very obvious, in my mind, choice for our program. And that was, you know, he did a pretty fine job for us. And then the other side of that, the next search, Caroline, she's already here. She's proven herself. She was a candidate the first go-round. 8 years later, you know, when I'd said something like, I don't think she's quite ready yet, 8 years later, she's most definitely ready. So I think each coach, each search is going to take its own personality, and you're going to go where the search takes you. I think if you dictate how the search is going to go, that I'm going to do it this way, and these people are going to come to me, and these are how this is going to go, and you can't adapt to what you see and who you're talking to and whose name may surface that you hadn't been thinking of before, you better be ready to make that adaptation when the time comes. And I think that's what we've done in those successful searches, and that's certainly what we'll do here.
In terms of bringing some excitement to the program, you know, scheduling also is always, mm-hmm. you know, first, one of the things that, that people really like to look at and see teams. I mean, I know that the way college basketball has evolved over the last, you know, 10, 15, 20 years, it's hard to bring people here to Mott.
It is.
You know, from the late 90s, we used to be able to see some quote-unquote name teams. Now, this year was, you know, Bethune-Cookman and Holy Names and Menlo. No disrespect mm-hmm. to those universities at all, but is there anything, you know, you can do, the new coach can do to maybe, you know, attract more quote-unquote name universities mm-hmm. here? Again, I know it's, you know, complex and difficult. And also some of the road, you know, Joe put together a, you know, there was attractive opponents that the team would regularly, you know, Washington and Arizona, but, you know, we would, like Long Beach State, for example, and I'm not saying Cal Poly needs that aggressive of a schedule, but they would really put some teams on their schedule that were, you know, marquee teams, and also maybe mm-hmm. grab some money as well. But just talk about scheduling and how, you know, people may, fans may see a difference, if anything, in you know, coming years.
It'll be hard to tell because I don't think the athletic director should be micromanaging that schedule. It is hard to get opponents in here, and it is we need to play, that needs to be home type events. So we're not going to get UCLA in here like maybe a volleyball can or a baseball can. It's just the economics of basketball don't work that way. And I wouldn't come here if I were them either. You know, that's a good decision on their part. They don't need to. If you're one of those programs, they're going to play maybe a neutral site game or two, you know, those multi-team events, and they're going to host opponents for every other game because they can afford to do so. And in most cases, it makes financial sense for them to do that because they're going to make money on the gate in every single case so they can pay a Cal Poly. So one of the things I would like to see us do a better job of Mountain West, home. If we can do those, they're hard because most don't want to do them, but we've had some success with them in the past. We've had them with Nevada and Fresno State and others. I'd like to see us do that. We're going to play the road games against, you know, the Power Five, the A5s, if you will, the Autonomy Five Conference schools. That's going to continue. That's part of the financials of how we have to conduct ourselves. We still have a business to run, and that includes we're going to go play some of those games. So I think with a new coach, you'll see some of that continue. Are we going to do more home with Mountain West and WCC? I hope so. I do. I think that's possible.
Over the last few seasons, social media reactions towards the men's basketball team have, you know, not been pleasant, if you will, but they've often called for Calero being fired. Was there any role that social, or at least the community reaction to this team's performance played into making this decision, or any external factors that brought this decision, you know, forward?
No.
Okay.
I'm not really going to look at what social media posts are, you know, with certainly some donors and some other people I might have some conversations with, but ultimately this is my decision. I consulted with our university president and one of the vice presidents and our deputy AD, and that's it. I think the athletic director that looks closely at social media is doomed. Those are hard things to read, and I'm not interested in looking at them. Anonymous postings aren't something that I think we should give a whole lot of credibility to.
So, excuse me, you were discussing the culture of the Calero mm-hmm. as a real strength. Do you think that's kind of taking a hit now with him departing?
A hit with who?
Calero departing.
No, and culture, like...
Of the team.
I don't see how. I don't see how that's possible. It's too strong. The guys are too united. They're way too close to each other to allow anything to come between them. So I think our culture is going to, it's going to be up to the new head coach to embrace what's already here and keep that going. But, you know, Joe Calera did study hall. There's probably another, not another Division I head coach in the country that conducted study hall for their team. I'd like to see our new head coach continue to do that because it sends a really strong message to the guys about what we're going to accept here. And if you have a 3.0, you can beg out of study hall. Until then, you've got study hall with the head coach. Enjoy. I like that a lot. So I think our I don't think that's going to take a hit at all.
Okay, and then kind of going back to the coaching search real quick, is there kind of more preference on someone who strategically can do a lot with a little, or is there more of an emphasis on getting a guy who might be better at recruiting and bringing guys into the program, or is it just whoever seems like a natural fit?
Well, I think to the latter point, I would ask that person who they're gonna hire. You know, that's going to be a big part of this in terms of the questions I'm asking is how are you going to fill out a staff, and why? Is it playing to your strengths and your weaknesses? So you mentioned the great recruiter. Well, okay, that's all well and good, but if you can't coach, how's that going to help us get better? Now you're going to bring in better athletes maybe, but if you can't coach, where are we? So I'm going to be asking the questions about how you're going to complement your weaknesses as a head coach with your staff. And I think those are going to be some very important answers I'm going to be listening to. So, again, yes to all. You know, we're going to talk to all of those people and see if we can figure out what's the best fit for being a Cal Poly Mustang. For me, it's all about fit into our culture and our department and who we think can fit in best with who we are. It's funny, I was talking about it with our staff earlier, that how so many coaches, particularly in sports of Division I basketball and football, really come in and just bulldoze. They leave this wake of destruction behind them because they just bulldoze through everybody and everything, bullying their way to success. And that's not what I want. That's not what our department wants. We want the right fit culturally within our department. Joe certainly fit that, and all our current head coaches certainly fit that because we are so close-knit. I need somebody who's going to embrace being part of this family. If they're just here to win for a couple years and skip out and not really embrace being here, they're not going to make it, and I don't want them. I want them to be in this family for a while. As long as we can keep a successful coach, I want them in this family. And that's the way I look at this 80-person group as a family.
That was kind of what I was about to ask about. In the search, will you be looking for kind of a long-term solution, or maybe if you could get a bigger name, but he says – hypothetically down the road he might be interested in leaving, or do you want someone who's locked long term?
I'd rather have somebody longer, but I certainly don't shy away from somebody that's younger that you know, obviously they may be looking at this as a stepping stone. But I also have seen enough people come through Cal Poly, not just in athletics but university wide, that came here with that in mind and are still here because it's a beautiful place to be, and it's a great place to raise a family. You're all here. It's an awesome place to live, and this is an awesome university to work. So, you know, I think those opinions can change after you've been here for a little while. Certainly I love it here, and I'm not going anywhere, and I think you can say the same thing about the overwhelming majority of the people on our athletic department staff, that they have really embraced this place. It's special. Everybody says it, but it really is. This is very unique setting. So my preference is we bring in a coach that wants to be in this family. And wants to be in this family long term. If, you know, they get us to the Sweet 16 and they go on to another job, good for us and good for them. You know, we're both better off for it. But I would hope that we'd have a chance to keep that coach after we get that done.
Sawyer, do you have a question? Just because I worked at the Tribune for 20 years, I'm going to let Nick ask one more question.
Maybe just a Joe question. I mean, I know some of you guys asked that last night, but he seems like a great guy, great for the media, mm-hmm. too. Are you looking for a coach with good media relations? And somebody who has a good public speaking persona?
Joe's pretty funny. Yeah. Joe's pretty funny. You know, I think that goes with the overall fit that we're looking for. Somebody with that type of personality and charisma obviously would make us better. I don't think it's necessarily prerequisite by any stretch, but, you know, I think that's very, very helpful and makes you a lot more likable when you have such a personality and you know, a big personality, a great smile, a guy that lights up the room, and a guy people want to be around? Yeah, absolutely. That's 100%, I think, what we'd be looking for, and certainly those are traits that Joe had in spades. You know, he's going to be missed around our department. I know I've said that before. He's a good man. He's a good leader. He's meant a lot to me personally and professionally, and I think most people in our department would tell you the same thing. We will miss him, and he's a dear, dear friend, and he loves Cal Poly.
From